Well, good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager here in Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you on air, online, and in media ministry for over 30 years now. So thank you for sitting with me at the feet of the Lord to listen for His heart to touch our hearts. Well, if you've been with us, you know this summer we've been going through a series on the series that I've done for the last few years. In fact, I'm doing one broadcast overviews of a multi-part series so that you can just get a feel, you can get a sense of the portrait of God that I actually spent a lot of time on. But here, you'll get the overview. And as the Lord may lead, you can go to my website at markpg.org. markpg.org, and just scroll and find the expanded series on the portrait that I will be doing an overview of today. And today, the portrait is called, He is Our Heart-Changing Provider. He is our heart-changing provider. It's actually series number 96, did it back in 2023. It was a four-part series. It has 12 takeaways. If you're a note taker today, I'm going to be giving you an overview of those 12 takeaways. And then again, you can go to my website at markpg.org and listen to the entire series as the Lord may lead. All right, so if you have your Bibles, we're going to start over in Psalm 9, but then we're going to end up going to Psalm 100, Philippians 4, Psalm 118, Psalm 69, 2 Corinthians, and so forth. It's going to be a marvelous journey through the love letters of God to see Him as our heart-changing provider, because I see portraits of God throughout the series, as we've covered in previous weeks, like He is our chief shepherd, He's our humble heart, He's our deeper joy, He's our abiding love, and so on. So as we get started, as is our custom, oh, let's just go before the Lord and ask Him to speak, shall we? Well, Lord, You know how absolutely grateful I am that I have the opportunity to come and sit at Your feet with my brothers and sisters and do the best I can to unfold the things You're teaching me as I take my journey through the Scriptures and see all of these portraits of who You are and what You're like. So, Lord, I pray I'll do it justice today as I share it with my brothers and sisters. Thank You for being the kind of God who loves to speak to us. Thank You for being the kind of God who loves to change our hearts, transforming us day by day as new children, as a new bride, as new creations in Christ. Oh, thank You, Lord. We love You, Lord. And we pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Oh, amen. Amen and amen. All right, my friends, well, if you'll make your way over to Psalm 9, verse 1, that's where we're going to get started as we talk about the Lord, who is our heart-changing provider, who transforms us as often as we express our grateful thankfulness for His bountiful provision, His marvelous work, His grace upon grace in our life. I'm telling you, beloved, the more that we cultivate a reflexive and constant heart of thanksgiving, of gratefulness unto the Lord, the more we do that, the more He changes our heart. He is our heart-changing provider of anything we need at any time. You know, the burning bush is where God answered Moses' question regarding His name. What is Your name, Lord? Who can I say I've been speaking with? And the Lord said, I am that I am. What did that mean? I am whatever you need. I will provide whatever you need. And when I do, your heart will be changed. You will be transforming more and more into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our heart-changing provider. And here are the 12 takeaways if you're the a note taker. Number one, thanking God is about our heart and His wonders. Thanking God is about our heart and his wonders. Psalm 9, verse 1 puts it this way, I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart, and I will tell of all your wonders. All right. Thanking God is more than lip service. It's more than just memorizing and quoting a prayer of thankfulness. It's more of just going through the routine of thanking God for the food or whatever, you know. We can get into a habitual sense of prayer, habitual sense of thanking God and all, and not be doing so from the heart. That's why I'm saying here that thanking God is really all about our heart and his wonders. It's getting lost in the wonder of God himself and his ways to the point that our heart just gets so full, we can't help but thank him, be grateful for him, worship him, and love him. That's why one of my favorite times of the day is the pre-dawn prayer walks that I love to take. I mean, this morning, it was wonderful. I mean, the night skies, the stars, the moon arrangements. Lately, it's been very unique, you know, Saturn and a star, and not Saturn, it's Venus, the eastern morning star. Venus is right there next to a crescent moon, and there's another big star right around it, and it's been in a straight line, then it's been in a triangle, and I get lost in the wonder of God as I behold how nature reflects his glory. When I'm experiencing warm family times, when I'm experiencing marvelous worship times with my church family, when I see the miracles of babies being born, you know, brand new newborns and all, and oh, there's just so many ways that the wonders of God just bring into my heart waves and waves of thankfulness. Thanking God is about our heart and his wonders. I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonders. Oh, I love that Psalm 9:1. Well, number two, we're going to pick this up in Psalm 100, verse 4, where, excuse me, the Bible says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. So here's number two. The first was thanking God's about our heart and his wonders. Number two, thanking God is the front end of worship. It's the front end of worship. We enter his gates with thanksgiving. We lead with thanking God for what he's done and praising God into his courts with praise, praising God for who he is. My friends, do your personal quiet times lead your time of worship and communion and conversation with him? Do you enter his gates with thanksgiving and courts with praise? You know, the way you lead a conversation changes the whole tone of it. When we go in with this kind of heart for the Lord, it is a rich and deep and encouraging time. Having said that, I'll also say, however, that there are times when we go into prayer with the Lord where we are in anguish, we are in grief, like Jesus in Gethsemane, and we may not enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise, but as we walk through just bearing our souls and airing our grief, and the Lord loves us enough to listen, and he draws us closer to himself, in that case, we may end our times with thanksgiving and praise, like at least we hope we get that far. When we're going through those deep times of mourning, joy will come in the morning or in time, but sometimes it takes time. But for the most part, in the routine, in the daily, in the regular, thanking God is the front end of worship. Let's enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Hey, by the way, this happens in real life too. One of the things I take away from the Sermon on the Mount, for example, when you look at the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, you know, 5, 6, and 7, and he opens with the Beatitudes and all, I look at it, one I was going to do a series on this a few years ago, and I did the series on this, and I noticed from a structural perspective, the Lord's doing three things in that sermon. He opens with comfort. Because the scripture says there that he gathered on that mountain, he saw the multitudes and he sat down and began to speak with them. But when he saw the multitudes, it reminded me of Matthew 9 that says he saw the people with a heart of compassion, like downcast sheep without a shepherd. I believe he saw the same thing on that day that he got ready to preach the Sermon on the Mount. He saw the people as downcast sheep. And what did he say? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they who mourn. He comforted them first. There's an acrostic, CAR. He comforted them first. All the Beatitudes. Beautiful. Secondly, he said, you are the light of the world. You are the salt or the spice of the earth. That wasn't an exhortation. That was an affirmation. You are the light of the world. You're reflecting me. That's what you should do. You are the spice of the earth. You give it life. That's what I came to do. So he comforted them first. He leads with that. He affirms them second. Then he does the reveal. You have heard it said, but I say to you. You have heard it said, I say to you. Isn't that marvelous? That's a whole different series. But what you lead with makes all the difference. When you're having conversations with people, especially one where you've been in disagreement, lead with comfort, then affirm. Then you do the reveals of what you're trying to get to. Leading with the right thing makes all the difference. That's why thanking God is the front end of worship. Number three, thanking God should be constant in our prayers. Oh, this changes your heart. He changes us as our heart-changing provider if thanking God is constant in our prayers. Philippians 4, verse 6, puts it this way. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. I love that. Everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Thanking God should be constant in our prayers. Always interlace thanksgiving, and it helps give you heart perspective. And it also continues to change your heart to see the bigness of God. By the way, when we're going to the Lord in prayer and thanksgiving with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, it's not so much praying for all the things in life, especially the hard things. I've gotten ill, I've gotten injured, I've got to go through surgery or whatever, or we're having some struggles. Well, you're not thanking God for it, but you're thanking God in that time because you know there's a bigger picture that's unfolding, deeper truths, deeper experiences He wants to share with you. So don't be discouraged when you're going through difficult times that it's hard to pray with thanksgiving, but you can if you're praying in that season, but not necessarily for the calamities and the distress that you're feeling. That's having more of an eternal, longer, bigger view of things. It's how God can make beauty out of ashes. So we cover this a lot in the series. I hope you'll go to markpg.org and look for this series number 96, this four-part series. But as we continue our journey today, let me share number four with you. Thanking God appreciates His everlasting kindness. Thanking God appreciates His everlasting kindness. Psalm 118, verse 1 puts it this way. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. My friend, I hope you see the bigger view of God as we were talking about a moment ago, but within that His everlasting kindness is always there. You know, a lot of times people, when you think about Hallmark movies, we kind of say, oh, they're all the same thing, boy meets girl, you know, they get mad, and then they get back together, it ends with a kiss and all that stuff. Well, yeah, this can be formulaic and viewed that way, but on the other hand, what's a deeper theme is how these movies by Hallmark are basically extended versions of a Hallmark greeting card. Hallmark greeting card is there to bless, to encourage, to point up. Hallmark movies have the same purpose, to encourage, to lift you up. And there's a spirit of kindness in all of those movies and a spirit of redemption where struggles come up, but then it's redeemed at the end. And it's designed to be that way. My wife has enjoyed them. Then she got me into them. And so from time to time, we do watch those because we just love the stories of kindness and redemption, kindness and redemption, kindness and redemption. Why? Because that's the way of the Lord. Thanking God appreciates his everlasting kindness. And I pray that you choose to view things and read things that have the themes of God in them, not the themes of this world. They take you down. The themes of God lift you up. Number five, thanking God magnifies him in our hearts. Thanking God magnifies him in our hearts. This is how we get more and more heart change. This is how we get more transformed, where he gets more and more magnified in our hearts, rather than let the struggles of this world get magnified in our hearts, or the disappointments of this world to magnify in our heart. No, no, no. Thanking God magnifies him in our hearts. Psalm 69, verse 30 puts it this way. I will praise the name of God with song and magnify him with thanksgiving. I just love that. We praise the name of God with song and we magnify him with thanksgiving. The more we thank God, well, that magnifies him in our hearts. It helps you see God as a generous father, not a stern taskmaster. You know, if you ask your average person on the streets who's still not sure about the God thing, and you ask them, you know, what is their perception? A lot of people are going to have the view that he's, you know, the big guy in the white beard, kind of a scowl on his face, looking down, pointing a finger, saying, you're doing it wrong. You're evil, you know, you're whatever. And he wants us to do the right thing. Even believers, hey, wait a minute, you're not doing it right. I want you to do it this way. And he's a stern taskmaster, but he's not. He's a generous, kind, loving father. And when we thank him more and more and more, as we are describing, that kind, that understanding, that portrait of the Heavenly Father, of the Lord Jesus Christ, of the Holy Spirit becomes magnified more and more in our hearts. And the scripture says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Wow. Yeah, we go into that a lot in the series, so I hope you check it out. Okay, number six. In our list of 12, thanking God spawns serving and giving. Hey, we serve and give not because we have to, because we want to. But that comes when we cultivate this lifestyle of thanking God in all that we do. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 12 puts it this way. For the ministry of this service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but it is also overflowing through many thanksgiving to God. Wow. Overflowing through many thanksgiving to God. The more we thank God, the more we will serve, the more we will give because we want to, not because we have to. You know, when we're growing up as kids, we look forward to Christmas more because of what we're going to be getting rather than what we're going to be giving. But isn't it interesting that as we get older, we become teens, and then later, it begins to shift. I remember growing up, I have a brother, 1 year younger than I am. One particular year, as we were in our late teens and all, coming to Christmas, he was so excited, not because of the things he was, you know, knowing he would be getting, but he came up with a perfect gift for Dad, and he couldn't wait for Dad to open it up, knowing that it was going to bring Dad unbelievable, surprising joy. And that's all he could talk about with me. I can't wait till you see what I got, Dad. I wanted to know. He wouldn't tell anybody. But he was just so giddy excited about what he was about to give Dad that on Christmas morning, once he made sure and held it back to the very last and everything else was done, then he got the thing and gave it to Dad. And what it was, this is back in the old days now, it was a video tape that said, this is your life. And my dad goes, what is this? Because videos were rather new in those days. Ralph took it from him, that's my brother, put it in the player, and it started showing old family movies of when we were little guys and little sisters on vacation around the house over the span of about 15 years. It was my dad's life on this video. How in the world did you get this? Well, he'd found out that you can get the old you know, 8mm tapes and have them converted to video. And that was, again, new in that day. But that's why he was so excited to give it to Dad. And we just sat there watching our history right on the television set where we're used to seeing all the TV shows. But instead, this was our life. But the point, he was far more excited about giving than getting. And so should it be in our walk with the Lord. Well, here's number 7 in our list of 12. Thanking God as a sacrifice honors him. Thanking God as a sacrifice honors him. Psalm 50:23 puts it this way. He who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me. And to him who orders his way aright, I will show the salvation of God. You know, when we come to the place that we enjoy, feel honored to sacrifice all, give all unto the Lord, it honors him in a way that we cannot imagine. And it frees us up more deeply than we could possibly think. We're no longer hanging on to stuff. We're giving it all. We're sacrificing all to him. And it doesn't feel like a sacrifice, because the more we do this and thank God in it, the more we become one with him. And we don't need any more stuff. We don't need to do anything more. We just love focusing on his face rather than his hands. Wow. Number 8, thanking God helps us be alert in heart. Helping God helps us be alert in heart. Colossians 4, verses 2 through 3, put it this way. Devote yourselves to prayer. Keep alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open to us a door for the world so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ. Thanking God helps us be alert in heart. My friend, I trust that as you cultivate that kind of an ongoing conversation with the Lord in prayer, constantly listening for his whispers, that it will make you alert and watchful and attentive and sensitive to the whispers of God, that you can share with others the mysteries of Christ. Wow. Well, here's number 9. Thanking God for authorities has a great big impact. Thanking God for authorities has a big impact. 1 Timothy 2, verse 1. First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers and petitions and thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in godliness and all dignity. I hope you thank God and pray for the authorities in our lives, even though there can be some problematic ones. Somehow in the big picture of things, God is doing his work, and we can have tranquil lives in heart in his kingdom in the midst of cultural chaos. We go into a lot of this in the series. I hope you'll check it out. Number 10, thanking God can include leaders and others. Nehemiah 12:46 says this, for in the days of David and Asaph in ancient times, there were leaders of the singers, songs of praise and hymns of thanksgiving to God. This is about corporate worship. I hope you take advantage of corporate worship and thanksgiving with your church family. So important to have a church home. It's not a duty, it is a privilege, and thanking God can include leaders and others in this corporate thanksgiving, prayer, and worship. Now, number 11, thanking God with throngs is festive. Psalm 42, verse 4, for I used to go along with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with the voice of joy and thanksgiving, a multitude keeping festival. I hope your Christian life is festival, my friends. Don't be a loner. Don't be aloof. Don't be the coal that's taken out of the fire pit and put on the sidewalk several feet away, because alone, that coal is going to get cold. It needs to be with the other coals, with the fire, the presence of fire, the presence of God in this case, and that as we thank God with throngs, it becomes more and more festive. Take advantage of the festive things you can do with the body of Christ and with your church family. Wow. And then number 12, as we wind this down, thanking God with angels is our eternal destiny Man, I love this. Listen to Revelation 7, 11 through 13. And all the angels were standing around the throne, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Oh, my friends, when you let the Lord, our heart-changing provider, change your heart through and through as you are thanking Him in all these ways we've just been describing, it is a preview of eternity in the presence of God. But what a joy, what a mystery, and what a privilege to know that we can practice the presence of God. We don't have to wait to physically die or be raptured and be with Him in glory to enjoy His presence in spirit. Practicing the presence of God becomes more and more prevalent and powerful to the degree we cultivate thanking God, being grateful for and to God for all the things He does for us. He is our heart-changing provider. We don't deserve it. He provides it lavishly by His grace upon grace, as it says in John 1. And I could add a few more graces. In my life, I've needed grace upon grace upon grace upon grace, and I'm thankful. Well, Lord, thank You for this time together as we took a journey in Your love letters to see how You love us more than we can possibly imagine, and we love to tell of Your wonders. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez, and I hope you'll check out my website at markpg.org for more. Until next time, fall in love with Jesus, our heart-changing provider.